Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on sea energy agriculture when we come back. You know, from time to time, people call the law school and they ask how they can learn more about the topics that I speak on over the air. Well, keep in mind that most of these topics that you hear on the radio, I teach in detail in one of my classes here at the law school. Now, for example, when you hear me talking about the common law, it was Alfred the Great who codified the common law back in 872 AD, and he codified it into 49 principles or statutes of law, of which 22 of those 49 are incorporated into our federal Constitution and Bill of Rights. Now, the common law was taken from the Mosaic Law, which was given to Moses at Mount Sinai. That law is recorded in the Bible in Exodus 19, verse 16, through Exodus 24, verse 8, and it includes negligence, insurance, and taxes. Taxes, you know, such as the income, property, and social security taxes. And these IRS tax laws are a counterfeit of the tithing laws of the scripture, and they work a theft on everyone that participates in them. That's why the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob gave us a better way of life than income tax and social security, and that's the basis of our tax school. We owe this income tax and social security tax because we've contracted into it. Have we thought about contracting out of it? Now, if you'd like to learn more about tax and status, why don't you write for our free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. Doesn't cost you anything. And it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free. Why don't you just call and ask for one? The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there, georgegordon.org. All right, we're covering a book here which is called Sea Energy Agriculture. It's a pretty wild concept, so let me just kind of refresh your recollection here a tad. All of the minerals that are being leached out of our land in Iowa and flowing down the Mississippi River end up in the ocean. We need those minerals, especially those trace element minerals, in our foods to prevent disease, diseases like cancer and heart attack and stroke, degenerative diseases. Your body is made up of an immune system which has 14 parts to it. And these 14 parts, things like your thymus and your appendix, tonsils, adenoids, lymph system, lymph nodes, these are parts of your body that ward off disease. And if those parts aren't properly nourished, if they don't have all of the minerals and vitamins that they need, you get sick. Now, you've probably pretty familiar with scurvy. Remember how the sailors in the British Navy would get scurvy and die? And then somebody woke up one day and they said, hey, listen, we noticed that those sailors that eat limes and lemons and oranges don't get scurvy. They didn't know anything about vitamin C, but they could see the cause and effect results that came from it. They could figure out that if we load these limes, lemons, and oranges on ships, and then when they're out at sea, we give one of those every day to the sailors, they don't get scurvy. Well, then somebody woke up one day and said, gee, what's in that orange? What's in that lemon? What's in that lime? And they discovered a thing called vitamin C. So when somebody comes down with scurvy, they give them limes and lemons and oranges, and the scurvy goes away. Then we figured out a way that we could manufacture the stuff, put it in pills, sell it in bottles, and then we sell it through the health food store. Now, that's all well and good. Now, that's one. There's about 17 of these vitamins. There's about 60 of these minerals. There's 16 amino acids. When we total all of this up, it totals 92 necessary nutrients that you need in your diet, 92. Now, a lot of times people will say, well, we can't get all of our nutrients out of the ground. Well, we could if the nutrients were in the ground. Our problem is we don't practice land Sabbaths and Jubilees, and so since we won't follow that biblical law or principle of law, then we have to do something else. And the something else that we could do would be to take these minerals out of the ocean where they have leached out of the soil and gone into the seawater. And we could evaporate it back out, sort out the minerals from the salt, and put that back on our soil. And that's what this fellow Dr. Murray is advocating. That's what he discovered. That's what he experimented with. It worked like a shot. And he said, this is the solution to our dilemma. Now, we can't expect the chemical companies to do this because there's no money in it. So it's up to you and me. It's up to the guy that says, well, I'm the final consumer and I want these minerals and nutrients in my food. The farmers aren't going to put it in. Why should they? A farmer goes to Monsanto, he buys his corn seed. He puts his chemicals on it and it produces a product. And that's what everybody wants to buy, is that product, and he gets a lot of it. Now, it's true that the corn doesn't have a whole lot of protein and it doesn't have a whole lot of minerals and vitamins in it, but the farmer isn't getting paid to produce minerals and vitamins and food nutrients. He's getting paid for bushels and bins and pounds and tons. And that's what he's growing, that's what he's getting paid for, and that's what he's going to continue to do. Now, if you and I want nutrients in our corn, then we're going to have to buy from some guy who's producing organic produce, organic corn. And that's where Acres USA comes in, because they've been the advocates for, well, let's see, Charlie Walters started this thing back in the 70s. I don't remember exactly when, 71, 2, 3, something like that. So let's go from 73 to 83, 93, 103. It's pushing 40 years, 35, 40 years. Charlie died here last year, and his son now runs Acres USA. They've moved it from Independence, Missouri, down to Austin, Texas. And the phone number down there to order a subscription, which is what I'm suggesting to all of my listeners and all of my students. You need a subscription to Acres so that you can stay abreast of organic agriculture. The chemical agriculture has been killing us in the past, is killing us today, and will continue to kill us in the future by way of heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and a whole host and plethora of other degenerative diseases which are caused by the toxins in the food, such as, but not limited to, DDT, and the mineral deficiencies in our food, which is caused by the leaching of those minerals and overcropping and never practicing land Sabbaths. So we've got two problems. We're being poisoned and starved at the same time. So if you want to put an end to that, you're going to do it yourself. It's not going to be done by Walmart or Safeway or Kroger. It ain't going to be done by BP, OrthoGrow, or Standard Oil. And it isn't going to be done by Monsanto, Cargill, or Archer Daniels Midland. If anybody's going to do it, you're going to do it. And the best source of information is Acres USA. If there's a better source of information, buy it. But I haven't heard of it yet. So Acres' phone number now, remember, is 1-800-355-5513. 1-800-355-5513. Now, they're also on the Internet, www.acresusa.com, simple one. Just acresusa.com, all one word, acresusa.com. I think the price of the magazine is $30 a year, $35 maybe. If it was $135, it would be well worth it. Remember, when we're talking about, oh, the international forecaster, you know what's that, $180 a year, $160? And the privateer, $180 a year, Australian, you know, it's $130-$140 a year. Acres is pittance by comparison. Now, they're not into politics, and they're not here trying to save the world, you know, from this, that, and another thing. But when it comes to organics, when you want to buy a truckload of organic soybean, if you want to know where to buy organic, or what's going on with the government trying to screw you over whole milk versus pasteurized milk and so on, you know, the source of information is Acres USA. All right. Now, with that out of the way, we're reviewing a book here called Sea Energy Agriculture, written by a guy by the name of Maynard Murray. And all of his research, all of his work was dead, gone, forgotten, and it was resurrected by Acres, probably by Charlie Walters. Now, the definitive dangers, Murray goes on to say, of these residues, that we're talking about chemical fertilizers, have not been determined, but we know toxicology well enough to say with certainty that this is not a wholesome practice. And we can recall the effects of lead poisoning and other toxin-produced fatalities, so that I, for one, must cast my vote with those who say that chemical sprays and insecticides are dangerous and should be avoided. Now, you people are going to live to be 110 years old, and you're not going to see anybody dying from these chemical pesticides. They don't allow that. When people die, they die from cancer, heart attack, stroke, diabetes, pneumonia. There's all kinds of diseases that they die from. These are secondary diseases. The causal factor was your immune system failed, and the toxicity shut your liver down, and you died from liver failure. Nobody ever says, well, it was the DDT that you were eating on your carrots and peas that poisoned your liver, made your liver shut down, and you died from liver failure. See, there's a cause and effect relationship here. So tuck that one away in your heart. Now, the effect of automation does not end with the injurious soil and spraying practices of modern agriculture. It's also apparent in our animal husbandry techniques, as evidenced in the common practice of livestock and poultry caging. Chickens are caged so that they can be force-fed, fattened more quickly, and duped into laying more eggs through the use of timed electric lights. The result is an unnatural environment where, among other things, they are not allowed exercise and normal movement that accompanies the instinctual activities of scratching and pecking on the ground for food and insects. In addition, drugs and medication are administered to stimulate changes in natural physiology so that more flesh develops. Well, let me tell you what my experience with that was. When I was a kid, I used to work for Hillcrest Farms. I went to high school. I worked for this big chicken operation. It was a heck of a fun job. I really enjoyed my time there. And we used to mix our own feed. And there was a big mixing machine there, and we would dump sacks of this and sacks of that into this milling machine, and it would grind it up. Well, it was one machine for grinding, and then there was another machine for mixing it up in this big tank. And then we would pour that stuff out and take it and feed it to the chickens. Now, there was 28 chemicals that we put into a ton of feed, and the 28 chemicals weighed 11 pounds. And that was things like dehydrostreptomycin and other antibiotics, and then there was arsenic and all kinds of chemicals that we stuck in there to make the chickens lay more eggs. And these chickens, of course, were kept in cages, and they were kept inside, and we kept copious records on how many eggs they laid, one thing and another. Very, very industrialized operation, and it worked like a shot. No two ways about it. I don't deny that. Now, what we've discovered in the years since then is that these chemicals come through in the eggs and in the flesh of the chicken. Then we eat that, and it stores in our fat, liver, gallbladders, and other organs. And then we get diseases like cancer, diabetes, rheumatism, arthritis, and etc. And we never blame the chemicals that we're sticking into these animals because nobody's ever told you about that before. So I just thought I'd throw that one in. So it's 28 chemicals. This is back in 1956. That was the big year. 28 chemicals weighed 11 pounds per ton of feed fed to those chickens. What does that do to humans? I haven't got a clue. I don't know. What kind of diseases, sicknesses, allergies come from that? I don't know. Neither does anybody else. Nobody's ever looked at it. And we're not going to because we don't want to know. We're perfectly satisfied with the production that we get out of the chickens. We sure as hell don't want to know that the side effects causes something like cancer or heart disease, now do we? Now, these techniques are also carried through to the raising of livestock. Hogs are given iron injections to boost weaning weights, and cattle are administered anti-thyroid medication to cut down metabolism, thereby building up fat. Castration, while in itself potentially dangerous, is routine for both livestock and poultry. Although chemical castration has been outlawed, surgical castration is practiced and results in an altered cellular structure where female hormones play a greater role in the emasculated animal's physiology. That this abnormal hormonal balance might be passed on to the consumer is speculated but not documented sufficiently to be conclusive. Not only has science come to the farmer in the form of mechanization and conveyor belt animal husbandry, but in medicine as well. Now, the modern farmer is armed with a variety of potent medications, drugs, and antibiotics, which are often dispensed without caution. The obvious result is that traces of iron, shots, penicillin, hormones, sulfa drugs, anti-metabolites, acromycin, expectorants, vitamin supplements, and a host of other medications can be found in food. So after we kill the animals, and then we put these products on the shelf, and then we take them into the laboratory and find out, well, what's in that steak, what's in that pork chop, what's in that chicken over there, we find that we've got penicillin, iron shots, hormones, sulfa, anti, and you're eating this. What does this do? I don't know. I've got a clue. Neither do you. Now, if this is good for you, well, then perhaps maybe you should go down and buy some penicillin, hormones, sulfa drugs, anti-metabolites, acromycin, expectorants, vitamin supplements, and a host of other medications found in that food, and just take them. Huh? Now, it is true that antibiotics can be a wonder drug, but today in America, Americans have been eating so much of the animal products that are laced with penicillin. Many times people, when they really get sick, they've got some kind of a disease and they need antibiotics. They can't take them because they're immune to them, or they've got some kind of an allergy to them. I think we'd be better served if we didn't eat all of those antibiotics in the food that we eat. Just my opinion. Some of these drugs and medications are necessary in the production of food for human consumption. But many are fraught with the insidious danger of administration by farmers without a license or veterinarian supervision. Oh, I can testify to that one. We use a lot of penicillin for mastitis in dairy cows. And I can remember more than once shooting whole tubes of penicillin right into a vat of milk to keep the bacteria count down. You know, dairy farmers get penalized with high bacteria count. What did that do to the milk? Well, today they test for it, but in those days they didn't. And so we stuck it right in there. Now, there's probably other things that farmers are using today that aren't being tested for, and are in your milk, like this BHST. Well, I don't know, does it make boys grow breasts? We find that that's a problem, you know. We have men now going in for breast reduction surgery. Now, that's kind of a bizarre thing to have to go in for, isn't it? Hey, fellas, you know, your tits are growing a little bit oversized. In regular medical practice, abnormal and fatal human reactions to simple antibiotic dosages have been reported, and it's not unrealistic to consider that a patient may have built up an intolerance for a drug by consuming doses of drug-contaminated food. I would be unfair and irresponsible to consider all mechanical innovations on the farm as being detrimental. Irrigation machinery, machinery which works the land, and machinery which eliminated brutal human labor necessary to feed an ever-expanding population are all acknowledged boons to agriculture. However, it's just as important not to overlook the danger in becoming so mechanized, so scientific, so technical, that we force unnatural biological performances. And when this occurs, nature retaliates and the price paid ridicules the economy of the process. Every once in a while, I'll mention to people a little story. I'll do it right here. Back in the 1950s, I was working for a fellow by the name of Francis Capini. And he was at the time, you know, pretty modern, up-to-date, forward-thinking young man, young farmer. And the John Deere Company came out with a process called a field chopper. And the idea was to go down and cut the grass and clover with this field chopper, blow it into a wagon, bring it up, and feed it to your cows in bunks in a dry lot. See, when a cow is out in the field, she lays down on the ground, she urinates on it, defecates on it. And so about half the feed in a 10-acre field goes to waste. Well, that was what they told us. Actually, it doesn't go to waste. It stays right there in the field and becomes the food, the organic material, the food for next year's crops. But of course, we put this manure on the field as fertilizer. Never occurred to us that if a cow put it out there, it's just as much fertilizer as if we hauled it down there in a manure spreader, isn't it? Well, anyway, they're out there. We were out there cutting it. And I'm, you know, about 16, 18 years old. It's just nothing better for a young kid, you know, to sit on a tractor and chop feed and drive up and down the field just having a good time. And so I thought it was the greatest thing since sliced white bread. Now some years went by. And the farmers all quit using them, see? Now, the John Deere people went to the University of California at Davis, and they said, now test this. And the university tested the machinery, and it proved out that it was a boon to agriculture, and you just made tons of money off of it, and it was highly profitable. And the John Deere company, they loved the report, and they made lots of machinery, made lots of money, sold it to lots of farmers. But then when we checked it all out, the farmers discovered that it cost more than it returned. It was not profitable. So they quit using them. Just like this BHST, you know, for milk production. Monsanto said, hey, this is the greatest thing to dairy cows since the milking machine. And so they went out and they bought up all of this BHST, fed it to their cows, and found out that it's uneconomical, so they stopped using it in their own self-interest. Kills the cows after about 3 years. Now, that being the case, it was great business for Monsanto. You know, those are chemists that come from the city. Those aren't farmers. Those people that work for these fertilizer companies and these seed companies, hell, those people aren't farmers. And most of the people that call themselves farmers today aren't farmers either. They're agribusinessmen. That's agribusiness. That's industrial agriculture. It doesn't have anything to do with the biological side of agriculture. So I just wanted to point out here that there's a lot of processes that have been developed over the years that have proven to be false. They don't work at all. And we're going to find that out shortly up here in the Oglala Aquifer when it goes dry and half the food of America is suddenly gone. Oh, what a shock that's going to be. Doesn't have to happen if there was a little foresight, you know. There's water and irrigation, and it'll work. But, you know, if a little bit's good, these boys say, then a whole lot's got to be better. And they go out and they do a whole lot until they destroy the whole thing. It's kind of like if a little bit of golden egg from a goose is good, killing the goose and getting a whole bunch of eggs has got to be better. Now, the biological manipulation in food production does not end on the farm. It is compounded when the food processor adds his share of pollution. Much of the remaining nutritional value in the food is removed in the processing cycle, as exemplified in the refinement of sugar. The sugar grower sends 35 or more elements to the processor in the raw product. The consumer gets 3 back when he buys it from the grocery store. Now, to the insult of over-refinement, the processor adds the injury of placing chemical preservatives in the remaining hollow shell that we call sugar. A congressional committee investigating additives to food identified and listed 700 chemicals in use for various purposes in the food industry. 700 chemicals. White flour used in baking our bread is another vivid example of modern technology processing for non-health. The wheat milling process that results in white flour removes the following parts of the wheat germ kernel. bran, which makes up 14.5% of the kernel, including nuclear tissue seed coat tests, tube cells, cross cells, hypodermis, and epidermis cells. Aleurone cell layer, part of the endosperm, is separated with the bran in the milling process, accounting for loss of the bulk of wheat's rich protein matter, some trace elements, and useful fatty substances. The germ is also removed in the process, accounting for loss of protein, natural sugars, a considerable quantity of wheat oil, and a large percentage of vitamins and minerals, especially the trace elements. The residue of this milling process is fed to animals, with the obvious result that the animals are on a better diet than the people who eat merely the remaining endosperm that constitutes the bulk of white flour. The implications of the milling process to those who eat white bread are interesting. 86%, now just think of this, remember, Wonder Bread builds strong bodies 12 ways. For the rest of you people in the world that don't understand that ad, here in America, we have a bakery here, it's called Wonder Bread. Wonder Bread, it is a wonder. It's white bread. And on their packages and in their advertising, they say Wonder Bread builds strong bodies 12 ways. 86% of the manganese content is removed by the milling process. Chickens and animals experimentally deprived of manganese grow improperly and often become infertile. 5% of Americans are infertile. Did you know that? They got a manganese deficiency. You boys don't need Viagra. You need to get off the McDonald's fat and get on to more manganese. A large proportion of selenium is removed in the process. Rats and chickens deprived of selenium show signs of liver deterioration. Approximately 78% of the zinc is removed. Zinc is known to speed the healing of wounds in human dwarfs, are a recognized result of severe deficiency of zinc. 89% of the cobalt is removed. Cobalt is known to be a key element in vitamin B12 and is important to the maturing of red blood cells, which iron carry, and oxygen in all warm-blooded mammals. Nearly half of the chromium is removed. Lack of chromium has been shown to contribute to the incidence of diabetes. 77% of the vitamin B1 and 67% of the folic acid are lost. Both, along with other trace elements, are key to the manufacture of RNA and DNA, the chemicals which pass along the genetic code, having to do with the building of cells and procreation. 80% of the B2 and 81% of the B vitamins are lost. Both are important in mucous membrane health and resistance to pellagra. 72% of B6 is lost. Vitamin B6 has to do with the metabolism of amino acids, which are the building blocks of proteins making up most of the body. And most of the vitamin A is lost in the process. Vitamin A is essential in the maintenance of good vision and healthy skin. 86% of the vitamin E and most of the vitamin D content are lost. E is necessary in the proper development and maintenance of cell membranes, and D is important in the utilization of calcium and vitamin A. Now, look at that. That's what we lose when we eat white flour. White flour. All right, guys, hang on here. I got to give you a reminder that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that those authors or publications that we're endorsing and recommending are necessarily going to endorse and recommend the Law Hour and editorial review. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. And they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are talking about sea energy agriculture. And as a consequence of that, we're looking at the cause and effect relationship with bad health. Now, I just told you a little story here from Sea Energy Agriculture on page 88 and 89, talking about denaturing this food. Now, remember, the biggest industry in America is food. Number one industry in the country, food. Bigger than automobiles, bigger than steel, bigger than oil, bigger than big pharma. I mean, it's big business. And it's divided up into tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of stores, manufacturing facilities, and people that make products for the food industry. You know, the people that are making the penicillin that goes into the products that you use or that you buy. The milling machines, you know, that are made to turn out this white flour and so on. All of those people are working for the food industry. Well, over here in Leviticus chapter 26, there's a little story about Wonder Bread. I thought I'd share it with you. Listen to this. Here's your creator. Now, he says in verse 26, he says, "And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied." That's a prophecy. This chapter here deals with prophecy, a prediction for the future. Now, in plain English, if we were to extrapolate that out, here's what it says. "And when I've broken the staff of your bread, when I've delivered to you famine, 10 women working for the ITT bakery shall bake your bread in one block-long oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight in 1 pound loaves, and you shall eat that wallpaper paste, and you shall not be satisfied because there's no nutritional value in it." Now, that's where we are today. And Dr. Murray now figured out that the minerals, the nutrients that we need to save us is in the ocean, where he discovered that there is no disease. Think of that now for a minute. This degenerative disease that we're talking about here, like cancer and heart attack and diabetes and things like that, we see that in animals, we see that in man, but we don't see that in whales, porpoises, or great white sharks. And so he started looking at that and said, "Hey, wait a minute, why is that?" And then we looked around the world and we found out that in certain locations around the world where the land isn't degenerate, or where the minerals are locked up in the milk of the glacier, they call it glacier milk, and these people drink the glacier milk or use it for irrigation, they live to be 100. They don't have any dental caries. They don't have any diseases. They don't have cancer, heart attack, stroke, and diabetes. And we're all sitting over here in the Western world saying, "Gee, wonder why that is." Dr. Murray put two and two together and says, "Okay, here's what it is. It's the trace minerals, and there's 60 of them." Trace minerals, 60 of them. Now, in addition to the above, more dramatic illustrations, the milling process removes 50% of the panthionic acid, 76% of the iron, 60% of the calcium, 78% of the sodium, 77% of the potassium, 85% of the magnesium, and 71% of the phosphorus. Now listen, this is what McDonald's uses on your Big Mac. They're going to give you this denatured white bread. That's a white bun you're eating. Now you could do something about that. You know, you can buy whole wheat bread. I mean, there's other breads out there to buy other than White Death, but most people have become accustomed to eating this soft bread. And because of that, they're not very likely to change. Meanwhile, back on the farm, if you want to eat white bread, that's fine, but you have to get these nutrients from some other source, don't you? And those of you that do not get these nutrients from some other source, whether it's one a day, multiple vitamins, or some other foods, then you're deficient. Then you end up with a disease. You get breast cancer, ladies, and you can't figure out why. Well, your immune system over here couldn't ward off the cancer because it doesn't have the vital nutrients that it needs, of which, by the way, there are 92. Now, write this one down. You'll need this. It's called Rare Earths, R-A-R-E-E-A-R-T-H-S. It was written by Joel Wallach, probably written by his wife, too. I don't remember if she was a part of it. I don't have the book right in front of me. Joel Wallach, J-O-E-L, Wallach, W-A-L-L-A-C-H. Go look him up on Google. I'm sure he's got a website out there somewhere. Rare Earths. Tell you which of the 92, and he also sells a vitamin and herb supplement that you can take. Wallach's theory is, go ahead and eat it anyway, because even if your body doesn't need it and you pass it through your urine, it's available in case it needs it. Better to have too much than not enough. Besides that, you can buy this vitamin mineral tonic from Wallach, and it will cost you less than one Pepsi-Cola per day. Isn't that special? Now listen, there isn't anybody out there now that isn't drinking one Coke or Pepsi a day. And this Wallach formula over here is less money. I think it's 50 cents a day, which is less than a soda pop. Less. Now, in addition to these losses, 50% of your pancreatic acid, 60% of calcium, 78% of sodium, and so on, in the past, the law required that any harmful chemical additives in use by food processors be detected and proven harmful by the Food and Drug Administration before the product containing them could be taken off the market. Well, now, a new law requires that chemical manufacturers first test the chemical substance on animals and then submit evidence of testing results before the chemical can be approved for use in food products by these processors. Now, this is an apparent improvement over previous methods, but we have to wonder whether individually isolated tests for toxicity and other factors are in fact sufficient. Now, one chemical preservative may be individually innocuous, but that same chemical may well be dangerous in combination with other chemicals or preservatives on the market. So has anybody ever taken a look and said to themselves, well, in this package of hot dogs, there's sodium nitrite and sodium nitrate, and there's four or five other chemicals in there. So they give each one of those chemicals one at a time to an animal, and the animal doesn't die. Now, I've got a student who's a pharmacy guy. He's a pharmacologist, I guess we call him. Pharmacologist? Pharmacy? A druggist. Anyway, he works for Walmart, and he comes down here with one now and again, and we kind of chew the rag once in a while. And when he went to college studying to be a druggist, they took him into a room, and they said, now look, here's the way we test these drugs and determine whether or not or what the toxic level is or how safe this drug is. We bring a monkey in here, and we feed him a little bit, and then we watch him for a week, and he doesn't die. So we feed him a little bit more, and then he doesn't die. And then we feed him a little bit more. We just keep up in the dosage until he dies. And then when the little critter dies, then we know that that's how much that this little critter can take. So then we measure his body weight, and we say, okay, well, an adult male, 170 pounds, can take this much of it. See how simple that is? All right. Now, all of these drugs are toxic, and that's what the druggist learns when he goes to drug school. All of these drugs are toxic. These drugs are made out of chemicals. Now, sometimes chemicals will change the metabolism in your body in a way that may give you some relief. Like, you know, we give you a little heroin, takes pain away. Now, we don't know what these chemicals do in combinations, and nobody tests for it. So you are the guinea pig. So your breast cancer, lady, may be caused by a combination of chemicals in your food, maybe a combination of chemicals in your drugs. It may be from some other cause. It may be nutritional deficiency. It may be a toxic reaction to something else. But something's causing that. Breast cancer is not normal, wasn't designed by God, and it's a result of a broken law. You can't get sick unless you violate one or more of the 19 health laws in Scripture. 19 health laws, you got to break one or more to get sick. So the next time you get sick, remember that it's your criminal behavior that's doing it to you. And if you get tired of it, you might ask, well, what do I have to do to quit breaking that law? What is that law that I'm involved with? Now, in summary, the U.S. agriculture and food processing techniques are attempting to accomplish the impossible, mechanization of biology. In our driving ambition to produce more and more on less and less land, we produce enormous quantities of food of dubious quality. To maintain high production rates in agriculture, the animal husbandry, we resort to measures, some of which border on insanity. Some of these that border on insanity include the use of drugs, medications, mechanical devices, aerators, and even poisons. And then we then overprocess, overrefine, and succeed in removing much of the already depleted nutrition in the foods to start with. Then we add preservatives to reduce spoilage, and to the whole procedure we imbue the concept of automation, which beats from nature all that nature can deliver. Now, if you're wondering why we're sick, now if you go back to about 1900, when people produce most of their food themselves in their own backyard, and we move that forward to today, there's little doubt but the process that we're following today is convenient. It is easy. It is very desirable. And I don't deny it. It's kind of neat to walk into Walmart and then walk over and pick up some blackberries that were flown in on a 747 from Australia in January. You know, it's kind of neat to pick up frozen strawberries 12 months a year. I mean, there's foodstuffs in there that are really kind of neat. I suppose we could probably produce a lot of that foodstuffs with a lot less of the denaturing and a whole lot less of the chemicals and additives that we stick into it. There are products out there on the market that are organic, that are prepared, and they're advertised as being natural and whole and whole grain and so on. Now, the majority of people aren't going to take advantage of that, but I just wanted to point out that it is a hell of a neat system, and I don't deny it, but it's that real neat system that's killing them. So if that's what you want, convenience with death, you've already got it. Stick with the program because it works perfectly. Now, if you want some inconvenience and longer life and less sickness and disease, then maybe you need to make a change. That's all. Our technological process has been so rapid that we have forgotten that life consists of protoplasm, living protoplasm, which is bound by the biological laws of ingestion, metabolism, growth, maturity, and death. In place of the basic rules of living, which have stood the test of time, we have substituted newer, more modern approaches that have not been time-tested and which have all of the earmarks of danger. This is a quest for modern, improved living standards. Our future may be in jeopardy. It's not difficult to see that is why our health is not good. What is remarkable is that our health is as good as it is. We are nutritionally deficient, and as a result, we open ourselves to attack from parasitic organisms. We submit to slow poisoning through cumulative toxins, and then we try to get something for nothing by defrauding nature. All of the problems inherent in our modern system can be eliminated with the application of sea energy in agriculture and good sense in processing. All right, with that much in mind, let me take a look here at Chapter 8, Organic versus Inorganic. Let me circle off chapter 7 there. Once a missionary scientist spreading the gospel to a primitive society overheard an elder member of the tribe tell a group of native children not to build their canoes out of trees in which a certain sacred bird had nested. These same trees, however, were considered the best source for canoes when the birds had not nested in them. When asked the reason for this warning, the elder told the missionary scientist that the bird god destroys canoes that are made from trees from which this sacred bird's home had been taken by the felling of the trees with evil spirits to plague the human who violated this sacred decree. Now, the missionary scientist scoffed at the ancient belief, and he set out to prove to the tribe that evil spirits did not possess these nested trees. So he went out one day and cut a tree down, and he built himself a canoe from one of these taboo trees, and while all of the tribe gathered on the beach to watch, he set out into the bay. Now, when he had paddled the craft just beyond the nearby reef, the canoe sank, and the missionary drowned. Well, all of the primitives returned to the village and continued worshiping their gods. Now, we tell you this story because it illustrates a simple natural truth, to wit. Some people can be right in practice, but wrong in theory, while others may be right in theory and wrong in practice. Now, in our simple example, the natives practiced accurately, while the theory behind their practice was scientifically inaccurate. The missionary scientist, on the other hand, was right in not accepting the evil spirit's theory. But failure to thoroughly investigate the facts cost him his life. Now, the truth of the matter was that the sacred birds had nested close to a food supply, and the wood of the trees in which they nested was filled with wood-boring worms. Somewhat analogous to our story is the great debate in the progress of the United States today with regard to the practice and theory of growing plants and food. The debate has evolved because the principles have encamped themselves in one of the other, or one or the other, of two opposed agricultural theories. It's the organic theory versus the inorganic, or chemical farming practice. Now, biologically speaking, the organic, by definition, pertains to living organisms, tissue, or protoplasm. Therefore, it refers to anything derived from or exhibiting character peculiar to living organisms. Organic has a chemical definition as well. Here, organic pertains to that branch of chemistry dealing with compounds of carbon, and thus is the study of the chemistry of carbon. Inorganic is defined as not living, not organic, and it is composed of matter other than vegetable or animal matter. Alternatively, inorganic matter is matter that is inanimate, and it lacks possession of characteristics peculiar to living tissue. Inorganic chemistry, then, is the branch of chemistry dealing with all substances except those referred to as organic. So now let's get on to the debate. In essence, the proponents of the organic growing method hold that the theory that they hold, and that is that plants are composed of nutrition, which is supplied by the decomposing living matter contained in the soil, Soil enriched with forms of decaying life such as manure, mulch, sewage, and sludge are the best source of plant nutrition. And they argue that this is the natural method of growing crops, and therefore it is a superior method. Now, at the very same time, they contend that plants grown with chemicals and artificial fertilizers are inferior, lacking in nutritional elements, and in many ways detrimental to the health of both the plants and the animals that eat them. Additionally, they blame many of the nation's physical ills on the poisoning of the soil by unwise use of chemical fertilizers on the nation's farms. In practice, the organic farmers grow crops of excellent taste, flavor, and high nutritional value. Advocates of inorganic or chemical farming, on the other hand, contend that they are able to grow excellent crops by adding to the soil various minerals and chemicals which the plant utilizes more efficiently than organic fertilizers. They report carefully controlled studies of crops grown on soils to which chemicals have been added that show no difference from crops grown on organically fertilized soils. The use of chemical commercial fertilizers is also a much quicker, more feasible way to grow crops and bring them to maturity. These inorganic proponents cite high crop yields and accompanying increases in average human life expectancy in the United States as proof that their method is best and that soils are not being poisoned in the process. Instead, the inorganic advocates contend that the primarily affects the natural nutritional composition of a food is the genetic makeup of the seed and not the soil fertility. And they call their opponents faddists. Well, next time we'll take a look at the theory and the practice, and I'll show you which is the superior of the two and which is scripturally sound. That's next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Remember, Acres, USA, the source of the material that we're looking at. The phone number is 1-800-355-5513. That's 1-800-355-5513, and you can get them on the web at www.acresusa.com. All right, you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Well, there's the signal. Says our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.